Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study in the book of Jonah. Today's scripture is Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and the sermon is entitled, The Call and the Answer.
I pray that you will bring your Bibles. I pray if you have it on your phone, that's perfectly all right in my standard. So long you can circle, highlight, underline, mark, whatever you choose to do. I'm that kind of guy, just so you know, as we study, I'm that kind of guy to make myself notes, and I'm grateful, and I pray that you will do the same. You know parts of this story, and maybe a major part of this story, since you were a little kid, right? Jonah and the whale, fish, maybe that's the better interpretation. But tonight I want you to know that as we understand and we have learned that story over and over about how God can take a man and put him in the belly of a big old fish and let him make it 3 days and nights, that fish spit him out. That's not the greatest miracle of the story. That's just part of the story. And so tonight when we think about Jonah, here is our mindset as we look at the entirety of this book. It is the battle of the wills, W-I-L-L-S, Jonah's will versus God's will. And this whole book, all four chapters, you will see a battle. It is a story of a will, not a whale. It includes a whale. It includes a ship. It includes a shipmaster. It includes feeling of anger and hurt and betrayal. It talks about plants and worms and wind and heat. It's a story that contains all of these things. But when we look at the root of the book, it is what happens when a man wants to go his way instead of God's way. And so tonight, my prayer is that it will speak to each one of our hearts. One of the my prayers as far as relating to us, when we think of that battle, I could sum this book up and just close the book by saying this: follow God's will and you'll be all right, and close the book. That would sum it up. We wouldn't have to go verse by verse. That's what we need to do, but we are human, amen? And we wrestle, and here's the image I want to begin with tonight, and that is this: tug of war. Many of you may have grown up playing that game. And I love the game of tug of war. I like watching more than participating, okay? There's not much Jeffrey can offer in the tugging department. I want you to know that, okay? There's no benefit to have me on your team. I'm the kind of guy they put up next to the center, you know? I'm the one they put right there, and I either go in the water first or whatever I have to do. But anyway, I love watching those anchor people. When you think of tug of war, those people that are at the end of the rope. And you usually put your corn-fed people at that end, right? I'll be nice. But whether they take their rope and wrap them around their wrist or wrap it around their body, they cinch a knot in it, they dig their heels in, they leverage back, and they use every advantage they can not to be moved. And here's my question to you tonight. Does that describe your relationship with God? Because that's exactly what Jonah does. He is determined. His heels are dug in. These are my plans. And God, I don't want to go the way that you would have me. Have you ever played tug of war with God? I'll be the first to testify, absolutely. But here's the benefit of playing tug of war with God. If you lose, if he draws you, pulls you, you don't fall into a big water puddle or mud pile. You come into His presence and in His will for your life. If you will just follow that rope, you're going to be exactly where God wants you to be. And though that game is hard, it's devastating when we run. And so tonight, as we understand this chapter about, or this book of Jonah and the chapter tonight in which we're going to study, I pray that you see areas of your life that need improvement, that need surrender, that need obedience to what the Lord has for your life. The call and the answer. That's the title of the message tonight, The Call and the Answer. And I want you to see four things as we study tonight together. Look at Jonah chapter number 1. We're going to go through the first 8 verses tonight. Jonah chapter number 1. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. The first thing that I want you to see as we talk about the call and the answer of God is simply this. I want us to look at the call of Jonah. The call of Jonah. When I read these first two verses, I read those words as a very direct call. And here is the reality in my little brain. I wish I could hear God's voice as direct as I read it on these pages. But whoever wrote this book, it could have been Jonah, it could have been somebody else. Whoever wrote this book knew, in fact, it was a direct call. It was a direct call from God to Jonah. But here is the intention of the call. And here's what you need to understand. The call intended for Jonah, it was intended for him specifically, but it was intended for Nineveh spiritually. So the call is to Jonah, but it is not about Jonah. It's about a group of people that God loves and that God needs to minister to. So he is specifically called to do two things in these two verses, and in particular, verse number 2. The first thing is this: get up and go to Nineveh. That's the first thing you got to do. You see in verse number 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. The first call, the first point of this is that you've got to get up and go to Nineveh. And the second part of that call is that you need to cry against the wickedness that is there. And this means simply this. You've got to tell the wicked people they are doing wicked things and they need to turn to God. Now, when we think about that call, the second part of that call we have trouble with today as Christians. If you see somebody doing something wrong, how many of us zip our mouth and keep on moving? When you know they're doing something wrong. And here's where we get into that discussion. Jonah needs to cry against the wickedness, tell them that they are sinning, calling them to God and through repentance, and minister to this place. But that cannot happen until he is first willing to get up and go there. Nineveh was an Assyrian city, possibly the largest of the day. And where Jonah was, he simply needed to go northeast to Nineveh. Do you know where Nineveh is today? Modern day Mosul, Iraq. How many of you want to go there and tell them they're wrong? Yeah, we ain't raising our hands either, right? So that's what he needs to do. He is called to go to Nineveh, a big town, a busy town, a wicked town. And as he journeys there, he is journeying for the sole purpose of calling those in Nineveh to God, warning them of the dangers of their ways and the dangers of not knowing and obeying the Lord. And so that call was a very tough one. But for Nineveh's perspective, as a great sign of God's mercy and God's grace, they needed Jonah to be obedient because Nineveh would not hear unless it was for Jonah. Maybe God would send somebody else. But as of right now where we read, if Jonah doesn't go, Nineveh perishes. And so, the calling of Jonah was not primarily to benefit Jonah. God had Nineveh on his mind. He wanted those people to hear of and know him and believe in God. And I believe this. I believe God calls each one of us in our different ways to serve and minister for him. Now, I will say this. God does not call everyone to preach or pastor. God doesn't call every one of you to be an evangelist. God doesn't call you to be a missionary. But God calls each one of us to his work in some way that he will be glorified. And you have a gifting in order to do that. That call, even though it is directed to you, here is the reality. It impacts others in the name of the Lord. And so that call could be simply somebody in your family right now that doesn't know Jesus. That you've got to wrap your arms of love around them and minister to them, even when it is hard and even when it could hurt. That's what God is calling you to do. You better do it. Quit running. I want you to see how Jonah's call isn't about Jonah. It is about people who desperately need the Lord. And so when we think about our own call, here are two questions, and that is this. When we talk to God, when we read his word, are we listening to God? And are we wanting God to make things benefit us? If it doesn't benefit me, I'm not doing it. And that has become Christianity in America. If I don't get the credit, if I don't get the glory, if I don't get the prize, I'm not going. God has called each one of us to minister for him in such a way that he gets the glory. Is he getting that currently from you and from me? So point number one, the call of Jonah is very similar to the call that God puts on our life. Go and tell him about me. Go tell him about me. I want you to see Jonah's response. So how many of you know whenever you get a call, there's a response, right? Look at Jonah's response in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So we see the call of Jonah, and here's the response. As I mentioned a minute ago, every time that you get a call or you receive a call, there is a response. Even the calls that you can't take or don't want to take. I don't know how many of you are iPhone people. Maybe you don't have to be an iPhone people. But look, when Jeffrey's busy, can I testify? Or Jeffrey doesn't want to take it. Maybe Terry's calling, right? And I'm like, I'm in trouble. I better not take this. There's a little button on the side of this thing. I just click that button, set it down. That's still my response. And what I'm saying is this. There's something more important than taking that call. And it could be legitimate. It could be a meeting. Or it could be something that I have going on. But how many times is that our response to when God calls? God, I'm not ready yet. I don't want to talk to you just yet about that. God calls again. You know you need to do it. You know you need to take. You know you need to answer the call. Not yet, God. I got to get some things worked out. I'm not ready. There's but only so many times we can delay that until God responds. And we'll get to that in a second. But Jonah's response, I know that some of us struggle to figure out what God would have us to do. But here's the reality. You should not struggle 40 or 50 or 60 years of your life figuring out what God wants you to do. Do the things that you're good at. Do the things that you're talented at. Be obedient to the Lord in that and run with that. But if you've sat in church 10 years and said, I don't know what God wants me to do, Oh my gosh, Nineveh's dying. I don't know what God wants me to do. It's a day-to-day conversation. And I'll tell you that today, the last day of April 2025, I believe Jeffrey is in God's will. Tomorrow's a new month, though, right? Tomorrow's a new day. But my response is sometimes similar to Jonah's, in which I say, God, I hear what you are saying, but I don't want to do that. There is no confusion on Jonah's part here. He has heard the voice of God. He has heard the call. The objective is now to get away from God. And he doesn't want to accept that call. And so he flees thinking this: I can outrun and I can outwit God. If I just jump on a boat, get to the bottom of it, cover myself up, fall asleep, God will never know where I am. That's Jonah's response. In verse number 2, you see it says he flees to Tarshish. And instead of, I told you earlier, he needed to go northeast. Jonah's going southwest. And it ain't a plane, it's a ship, okay? Southwest, as far as I can get. Now, Bible people argue where that is, and I don't really care where it is. Here's what I want you to know. He's trying to get away from God. He's trying to get as far away from God as he can. He has heard the voice. He has heard the call. He knows the destination, and he is clicking that button every single moment, trying to get away from God. There are a couple of things that are repeated in verse number 3 that you need to make sure that you are aware of, knowing the response of Jonah. Twice in this verse, it says that he flees from the presence of the Lord. God does not repeat himself by accident because he's misunderstood. It's for significance. Jonah has one thing in mind: I'm getting away from God. There is another word that is repeated here in verse number 3, and you need to circle it. He goes down to Joppa, and he goes down into the boat. And there is a great connection. When you flee the presence of God, you will go down. When you run from God, you're going down some way. Now, geographically, yes, Joppa was south or down. This is exactly how we would talk in Amherst County. I'm going down to Danville, right? And I'm going to catch something in Danville, and I'm going as far west as I can. But down means that he is trying to get away from God, but he is certainly going down in a spiritual sense. And here is another thing from verse number 3 you need to see. He paid the fare. Remember, there's always a price to pay. When you flee God, you will pay the price. You will pay it in a physical way, and you will pay it in a spiritual way. So he is running from God. He is going down, trying to flee the presence of God. Spiritually, he is spiraling down, and he will pay the price of the decisions that he is making. The reality is this, and here's what I want you to understand from this verse. Just because you find someone or something going the way that you want to go doesn't mean it is the will of God. Just because something works out the way you think it should doesn't mean it's God's will. He's gone to Joppa. He's found a boat. It's going where he wants to. It's got room for him. But guess what? He is out of God's will. And so the reality is this: there are many that flock away from God, and you can fit in if you want to. But that doesn't mean it's the will of God. I believe in free will. I believe that you and I can make a decision tonight to do something And with that decision, you can walk right out of the will of God. But here's what I want you to understand. I believe you might have free will, but you are not free from the consequences. So when you make that choice, you better be ready to pay the price, to suffer those consequences and that choice that you make. But here is the big picture view. In these choices, who's still in control? God is. God is sovereign over it all. You may think you're doing what you want to do, but God is still in control. And so I can't sit here and explain technically how free will and the sovereignty of God works, but here's what happens. God is still in control. And you have a choice. But you cannot steer yourself away from the consequences if you run from God. Jonah thinks the best thing to do is run. And that's what he does. I want to testify here. I have a running story too. I tried it when I was 18. I tried it. My story is that I ran from God. I wanted to run from the voices and the people that told me I should be a preacher and that I had a gift and that I needed to do this. And I didn't want to do that. My response was similar to Jonah. I'm going to get away from God and see what it's like. It ain't all what it's cracked up to be. There's a call of Jonah. There's the response of Jonah. Point number three tonight is this, the response of God to Jonah. So Jonah is on the run. What is God's response to that? Look at verse number four. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse three teaches us that Jonah thinks he's in control, and verse 4 teaches us that God is in control. And so what you need to see is Jonah is buried in the bottom of the ship, running, hiding, believing God doesn't know where he is. He quickly realizes, guess what? I may not be in control. Because of Jonah's choice, God has to respond. And what is his response? Look at verse number 4. He sends a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So here comes a storm. Now this just isn't any storm. It is a violent storm. That's the word tempest carries with it. It is a violent storm. And I don't want to add or take away from the Word of God, but it is probably one of the greatest storms that this crew has ever seen, maybe bigger than they have ever seen. But as God sends the storm, just make note here, this is a miracle. This is the miracle before the whale. We're not even getting to the whale tonight or the big fish. This is the first miracle God puts in Jonah's path to stop him, is a storm. And as that storm rages, the Bible teaches us that that storm beat on that boat and almost broke it on the middle of the sea. So the ship is about to go down. It's losing pieces. It's ready to go down. That's what the Bible says here. How many of you know, and how many of you read in your Bible that know that Jesus calms the storm? You believe that, right? Amen. But how many of you understand too that God can send a storm too? So He can calm it, but He can make one as well. And sometimes the storms in your life are just directions that God is trying to point you. I can't control the storms, but God can. God, trying to guide Jonah, providentially sends a storm. And here's what I need you to understand. When you run from God, you are in danger, but you very likely endanger others as well. Who's in greater danger here? Is Jonah? Is the ship and the crew? Or is Nineveh? Who's in the greatest danger? I would argue tonight that Nineveh is, because they're unsaved people. They don't know God. I would argue second that the crew, because they're going to cry out to their gods in a minute. But it's a little g. I would argue number three, Jonah. Jonah's in the best position in the middle of the storm simply because this, he knows God. He hears the voice of God. He knows where he should be with God. And yet what he chooses causes chaos for those around him. Does God still work that way? If you run, is it only going to hurt you? If you're not in God's will tonight, is it only hurting you? No. I would argue it's hurting your family, it's hurting your friends, it's hurting relationships, it's hurting your church. That's what I would argue. And so God's response to Jonah's response is simply this: I'm going to put a storm to try to save his life, to keep him from spiraling out of control. This is the answer. There's one more point tonight. Verses 5 through 8. Look at those verses real quick. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" The last response tonight that we need to look at before we close is the response of those around Jonah. So we talked about those around Jonah being in danger. Now, what is their response? Where's Jonah at? He's on the bottom of the boat, buried, thinking God doesn't see him, and he's going to say, "The best thing I can do is just sleep." What are the crew doing? What are the mariners doing? What are the shipmates doing? They are scared to death. And so what I want you to see here is as they are scared, they begin to take all kind of action. They don't know why this storm is there. In my mind, they've never seen a storm like this before. That's the way I read this. And so they first begin to try to save the ship, and second, they are worried about their lives. So what is their response? They are fearful. And in verse number 5, you see that they cry out to God. And you notice that is a little g. They cry out to each one of their gods. So here's the picture, okay? The storm is so violent, is so bad. They're going down the line trying to, "Hey, you call out to your God. You call out to your God." Somebody's God has to help us here. And guess what? It don't work. Look at verse number 5 again. "Cast forth the wares that were in the ship on the sea." So now they start taking the material things that are on board and they just start tossing them overboard. We're still in save the ship mode, right? Toss it overboard. Toss it overboard. Something's got to lighten the load so we will be okay. In the end of verse 5, Jonah was down inside of the ship, and as he lay, was fast asleep. All this commotion, all this storm, all this rocking, all this, and Jonah's asleep. Now, I think there's a whole different sermon right there, but I'm not going to go there tonight. How can you sleep while the storm is going on? But it's so bad that everybody else has cried out. They've thrown everything overboard, and they know there's one person left that has not cried out to their God. And so in verse number 6, that shipmaster comes to him and calls him, "Oh, sleeper, what is this? What's going on, you old sleeper? Arise." All right, look. That's the second time he's told to get up and go do something, right? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. You are the only one who has not talked to your God. I want you to cry out to your God that we do not die. Now see the transition. It's not about the ship anymore. It's about lives. It's about our lives, that we do not perish. We don't want to die. And so what do? Let me get back to my notes so I don't keep on going. I know I'm on a time crunch tonight. Is it important to save the ship or save their lives? I think that's a real question for us tonight. Is it important to take care of everything that's going on that where we're comfortable, or is it important to minister for Jesus Christ? The storms are coming. If you are not in a storm right now, you better praise God because one's coming. And what happens in that storm, you either worry about the material lifestyle things or you worry about God. And so they say the best thing we can do is we're going to draw straws. And whoever draws the shortest straw, guess what? It's got to be you. I want you to know that God is in this. I don't recommend drawing straws to figure out God's plan for your life. But even God is in control of the straws. And guess what? Jonah draws the short straw. They cast lots. And why do they cast lots? What's the reason that they do that? What are they looking for? Look at verse number 7. For the one who causes this evil to be upon us. That's why I say these mariners, this crew has never seen a storm like this before. They refer to it as evil, as a work not of God, of the devil. God is mad, so something's going on. And as they draw those straws, Jonah draws the short straw. Nothing is working. The master of the ship wakes up Jonah. They draw straws, ask him to call in his God. He slept through it all. And here is the last verse, verse number 8. And they said to him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your occupation? Where did you come from? What's your country? And from what people do you come from?" They're trying to find out everything they can in a matter of 30 seconds. They hit him with these questions. What in the world are you doing on our boat? You are the reason that this is happening. This evil is upon us. What's going on? What are you doing? I want you to circle two words in this verse. And if you have a different version of the King James, it may be a little different. Now remember, the ship master is barking these orders. Here's what the ship master says in verse number 8. And he said, and then said they unto him two words, "Tell us." That's all God wanted him to do in the first place. Go and tell Nineveh. That's all God wanted him to do in the first thing, is to tell them about God. And now guess what? When lives are on the line and livelihoods are on the line, he's willing to talk. What is the response of those around Jonah? Number one, they sense something supernatural in the storm. Every storm may not be a supernatural storm, but I believe there are supernatural storms that are meant to teach you godly lessons. These crew have seen the storm. They say there is something supernatural in this storm. Let's talk to our gods. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not going to discuss that right now. The second thing is they have tried everything they can do to save their lives. They've thrown stuff overboard. They've called out to random gods, random people. They've woke up Jonah and now they question him. They cast lots. The third thing, they cast lots and question Jonah. And I made a little note and I already said it. God's in control of that. And that last two words tell us. Tell us. Now, get the picture. The storm has not stopped yet. As the boat is being beaten and the waves are crashed and the rain is hitting, here is what they want to know. Tell us why this evil is happening to us. I would probably be a chameleonaire if I could answer that question. Why does evil things happen? And here's the reality tonight as we close this part of our study. Jonah is in the middle of the storm. And he's not there alone. There are people with him that don't deserve to be there because he has neglected God. But never forget this. God is in the storm as well. God sent it, and God is in control. In the middle of the sea, Jonah has the attention of the shipmaster. He has pointed directly and said, "Tell us what is going on." But Jonah also has the attention of the master of the sea. And so you've got the shipmaster and the master of the sea looking at him. "Jonah, what will you do now?" You've got to come back next week to hear the rest of the story. Who's in control tonight? Don't pack up. Hold on. Give me just another minute. Who's in control tonight? Are you trying to be the master of your own ship and sail where you please, or is the master of the sea in control of your sails? It's okay to have the boat. You just got to give the control to God. Who's controlling where you are going and what you are doing? And these questions are kind of like the questions from the shipmaster. Here are your questions as we end tonight. Are you running? Are you hiding? Are you sleeping? Are you in danger? And what is your answer to God's call? Because here is the reality. Lives are on the line. And it's just not Jonah. It's just not the crew. It's Nineveh. That's where Jonah needs to be. And so tonight, where do you need to be? What's God calling you to do? And if you are running, this is a stern warning for you and for me. Surrender to where God would have you to go. Depend on the Lord. When God calls, your answer matters. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for the night. Thank you for these 8 verses in the life of Jonah. Thank you for the challenge personally to me. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will use a simple story about a man, about a fish, about a people that you care about a God that is bigger than anything that we know or understand, about a worm, about a plant, about heat, about wind. God, that you will make this real to us today. God, tonight, if somebody is running from you, I pray, Lord, in only the way that I can, redirect them. Protect them, but redirect them. By your sovereign power tonight, God, make it plain to us what we are to do, where we are to go, how we are to do it, and step by step of faith, Lord, you will lead us to those things. Lord, tonight, point us in the right direction. Lord, I pray as a church, as a family group, in ministry and missions, and reaching out to our community. God, I pray that individually as well, within the body and outside the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. Join us again next Sunday for Truth for the Journey.